Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Lovely to be with you this morning. We're getting ready, of course, for Padres-Brewers Game 2. Actually, we're not. We're not getting ready for that. It would be fun as hell if we were live out here at Ale Smith. No, we're just in the studio hanging out. It's the off season. At least for the San Diego Padres. We will certainly talk about that. Had an interesting piece drop over the weekend. Kind of the first of what will be about 1,000 until spring training starts. And listen, we didn't get there again. And Friday was one of the my least favorite shows of all time. Today's going to be one of my most favorite because, 72 hours goes by, you turn the page, you start looking forward to next year. I'm already there right now. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, buddy. What happened to you?
I'm trying to figure it out.
All right, Paulie's working on himself over there to get himself back on the YouTube feed. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you, my friend?
I am doing good this morning.
Good.
Before I do anything else, I want to quickly acknowledge a tier one who I know is listening from the very start of the show at 6 a.m. every single day. I would like to wish a happy birthday to my mother, Kim Higgins.
Sweet angel.
Yeah.
The sweetest angel that there ever was. Happy birthday, Mama Higgins.
We she's all like the love best you. Mom ever.
She's an incredible mom to me as well. She is just as good as it gets. And just love her to death. So happy birthday, Kim. Paul, did you want to wish Kim some happy birthday messages too, or are you self-involved with your camera?
Happy birthday, Mom. I love you.
Freaking egomaniac over there, Benny, just messing with his camera. It's jarring to look down and not see Paulie on there.
If I refresh my computer, it will
everything goes
kill
away.
The sound.
Everything
oh,
goes
God.
Away.
Oh,
so,
God.
For everybody.
All right.
I might just have to wear it for this segment.
Just, here, come sit by me.
Yeah, fine. Sit on your lap.
Sit over here by me. It's fine. I got more T-ball tales if you guys want them, man. They were a huge hit last Monday. Got several DMs of guys going, dude, I was dying last night.
I have repeated your line because I think it's probably true from last week. T-ball coaches should make about $300,000 a year.
I think I said $1 million a year. I think it should be more like $1 million. I mean, this was... Yesterday, we had another game. Paulie and I had a game in the morning, and it did not go well. There he is. He's back. Did not go well. We don't have to talk about that. No big deal. So I
you were the Yankees. They were the Blue Jays.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, the Yankees scored 7 runs. If you total what the two teams scored together, that's what we lost by. I think it was not. It was inexplicable. But I had to play that game, get in the car, do the old change into coach's gear as I am driving down to Encinitas Community Park, and I get to the field and I'm early. Which is great because some kids showed up, got to rip some ground balls to some kids and work on some stuff early before the game that started at 1. So the game, Cole says your league lets you keep score. No. Mine and Paulie's league keep score. The T-ballers do not keep score. God forbid you keep score in that. So I get there and game starts at 1 and go one time through the order. Next time, second time through the order. I got this kid, and I won't say his name. I absolutely adore him. He's unbelievable. But this little dude steps up to the plate, and I ask you not. He gets up to the plate. I'm the one that feeds the balls in the tee. He stops. He looks around, calls his shot.
Babe Ruth style.
Yes.
So he calls his shot, and I start. I'm dying laughing. And I go, what are you doing? So I go, all right, let's go. See this? Here's the ball. Here's this red seam. Focus on this red seam. Hit the thing. Swing and a miss! Misses it entirely. I go, all right, yeah. We got it. We're good. So I, situate the ball in there again. Calls the shot again. Does it again! Okay? This is my favorite. He takes the nastiest daddy hack you've ever seen. Bat goes flying up the third baseline. Choo, 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 choo. Down the line. So I hang my head. I walk over, pick it up. I go, all right, that's enough of calling your shot. He goes, I'm going to get it, coach. Calls his shot again one more time, the third time. Boom! Hits the tee. The tee goes 15 feet. The ball drops straight down. So this is now three called shots. You have a swing and a miss, a bat fly, and a tee hit. So then I didn't grab him, but I got down. I go, hey, that's enough. We're not going to do this anymore. They're gonna clown you out when you get to real baseball if you do this. This is a valuable lesson. So I go, don't do it again. He gives me, no BS, he gives me one of these. He gives me a side eye and then goes like this. Real quick. Not a full arm extension. He just gives like this. He goes, just a little point.
A casual surreptitious.
Dude, I was crying. He goes, just a quick one.
Oh, God, that's good.
Just moves his finger out a few inches.
A few inches. Just one quick, tiny little point. And then he comes up and wham, and missile just hits a seed over the shortstop's head. They played pretty shallow. Hits it over the shortstop's head, gets to first base. He's like, yeah, see? I'm like, oh. So he gets it. Was
I totally called that?
I called it, bro. I was crying, and you can see, you look up at the stands. You see his dad's got his hand in his hand. Where, oh my God!
Where did he get the idea to
I have
do that?
No earthly idea. No idea. Did they do it in Sandlot or like? I mean, I remember. Yes. I remember Jake Taylor calls his shot,
sure,
and
he bunts.
I was the one. The bat out of the hands down the line, was my favorite. It was my favorite. It is like, it's like nothing you've ever seen. These dudes, man. It is. It's such a trip. But it was great. We had a really good game and had a lot of fun. But man, I'm telling you, it is such a scene that you could never, things happen that you could never wrap your head around happening out there. It's just bananas. So God love him. He's a good little player and he's going to be a good little player, but
did you get a documentary on like the life of a T-ball coach?
I walked out and one kid was on his, he didn't get off his knees in the dirt the whole game. And so I'm like, get up. And he's just on his knees. And I'm like, if they hit a ball, he's really tiny anyway. I go, if they hit a ball, it's going to smoke you in the throat. If Taylor hits it hard, Ryder on our team, these guys mash. If one of the kids on the other team's mash like this, it's going to smoke you in the face. It's going to hit you in the throat. He's like, I don't care. He just sits on his knees and plays in the dirt. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Other than like, and I don't want to like manhandle kids, but like grab it by the nape of his neck and be like, get your ass out. So it is, dude, it is, there is no shortage of entertainment out there. And I know all the other T-ball coaches out there can certainly relate. I mean, it is truly, truly a labor of love. My favorite is the tiny little point. The quick last fourth point was, I'm still going to do it, coach, but I'm just not going to do it as boisterously as I did the last three. It was amazing. Yeah. I was lying in bed last night thinking about it. I was crying.
Hey, if you're going to do it, do it with your whole chest.
Yeah, say it with your whole chest. And if you, it's like I tell my kids, you want to do it, you better make sure that you do it. You're going to look like an idiot, man. So it was great, dude. It was really, really fun.
I remember my greatest T-ball moment when I was playing, and we were playing at the Parkdale Lane Elementary, and there was no fence or anything.
Not.
But there was a blacktop, and we kind of had this, I don't know, unspoken or understood rule that if you hit it on the air to the blacktop, it's a home run. And I did it once, and I don't think the other team knew about it because they went chasing
after
the ball.
That unspoken rule.
But I was just trotting around the bases like I had hit the home run. And by the time I got around third, they had finally brought the ball in, and I just told them, no, that's a home run.
That's
they were
a
trying
run
to
ball.
Tag me. I go, that's a home run.
That counts.
Trust
it
me.
It is pretty funny.
Trust me.
Yeah, trust me.
That's trust a, me. It's
we,
a home run.
We talked about it before the game. It is crazy. Like, the game starts at 1, right? Now, by the T-ball rules, the rules are very lax. They're very lax.
Open to interpretation.
I always get there early. So I'm always there early, first one in the field, because that's just who I am. So we're there early. I got 5 or 6 kids, and we're warmed up. We're ready to go. The game officially starts at 1. But every coach is allowed, it's supposed to go like this. Everybody shows up at 1, do a 30-minute practice, and then you start the game around 1:30. Well, I'm always ready to go at 1. My team is always ready to go at 1. We're ready. So go down and talk to the other coach. They're running through drills. Right at 1 o'clock they got there. They're running through drills and doing their thing. And I was like, he's like, you're going to need about 20 minutes. I'm like, 20 minutes? They're T-ballers. Can't we just get the show on the road? Aren't they going to get maybe more reps? In-game reps, but at least by the time they all hit 3 times through the order, he looked at me. We had 45 minutes left. He goes, just bang it after this. I go, thank God. Yes, bang it after this. 3 at-bats is the max that we can do. Oh, dude, it was so good. So good. So I'm really enjoying it. I am. It's no shortage of absolute hysterical behavior every single Sunday.
Cole says, I had a kid grind out a 30-swing at-bat at the tee yesterday. Finally got his hit, but my Lord.
You just made me have a panic attack, dude. A panic attack. They do that in machine.
A little higher. A little lower. A little higher.
Yeah,
little
come
lower.
On, bud. You got it. At some, all right. Not to be a jerk.
Can you imagine a 30-pitch at-bat?
Can you imagine a 30-pitch at-bat in the big leagues? After about 14 pitches, you're like, God, man, he is grinding. This is incredible. After 26 swings, you're like, figure it out! Just swing and miss! When we would do rookies, right, you're supposed to get anywhere from 4 to 6 swings off of the machine. Some dads would leave their kids up there for 12, 13, 14 swings. I'd look in the field. All my kids are falling asleep. I'm like, buddy, he's not going to get it today. Let's go. We got it. The other coaches, you got to keep this thing moving, man. That's why I've told it before. This is why we're losing kids to basketball, soccer, flag football. Because you want to go out there and play defense when somebody can't hit 14 pitches in a row off a machine. We got to find a way to speed this thing up. To, you know, listen, while they're young, once they get to 8, 9, 10, 11, start playing a little real baseball, that's the good stuff. But while you got them young, you got to keep the game at least semi-entertaining for the kids out in the field. And it is not easy, man. It is an art form, to be sure. But I have a blast doing it. It is such a fun thing. Such a fun thing.
Paulie, how's the move going? Are you all settled in now? Not quite.
Oh, my God.
It's going great.
Good.
Actually, it's going well. We really made a dent on the unpacking, and you know, you start getting stuff up on the walls, some of your art, some lamps in there, and everything. It starts to look like a home a little bit. So it's been great. we did have a.
Which you're not very good at.
This killed me, man. It absolutely
now
killed me.
Now we all
me.
Know something's coming here. Yeah. Let Paulie tell his story.
Well, we did have something interesting happen on Friday. We got our first batch of Amazon orders. You know, we moved in on Tuesday.
You gotta order some new stuff.
And as you unpack, you're like, all these little things. You're like, oh, yep, need that. Oh, we need that. We were just Costco, Amazon, whatever. Add it to the cart. Just buy it all now. We'll be good. So Friday afternoon, we got our first batch of Amazon deliveries. And Megan was near me. She got a notification on her phone. She was the one that ordered it. Amazon said, hey, you have a delivery. She walks out, grabs the delivery, comes in, opens it up in the kitchen, and goes, that's not what I ordered.
I wouldn't believe it if he did not send us a picture.
Yeah.
I
want to be delicate here.
I'll do it. I got it. I'll do it. It's a marital aid. A female marital aid. Yep. And it was in, it was a, are you going to post the picture? I would, if no, I were you. You're not going to post the picture.
I don't know if you should post the picture.
No. Why not?
Because I still don't even know what to do with
it. I'm going to look at it again so that I can better describe it for all of the tier ones out there. It was Friday. Pauly sends this.
Yes.
I'm sitting on the couch.
So.
And I go, there is no, there it is. Look at that. That is, what is that?
Looks like a flower.
It looks like a rose. And it's a, yep, it's a rose. And it was sent to Paul. And that's all that's in the box was just that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I wouldn't, yeah, there's a, you see down if you read some of the 15% off, then you see sexy, newest, subscribe. Looks like a one-time purchase. I don't think she's a subscription member because they're asking her to subscribe to this
Megan yells,
marital aid service.
I'm in the other room. Megan like yells, "What is in the box?"
And, "What's in the box?"
And I go, "I'm sorry, what?"
Yep. Yeah.
I walked out. I had to see for myself. Like, what are the odds? So what happened
what
was,
what are the odds?
We look back at the box. It was not our package. It was not for our.
Wasn't for you guys.
It wasn't for the old tenants. It was like it was not our address. And we're like, oh my god, they screwed it up.
This is unbelievable.
They screwed something up.
Yeah, they delivered it to the wrong place.
And I assume if they, because Megan got a picture with the delivery notification that had a package at the door.
Right,
so I would assume
he had a couple of boxes for the same area.
Same area.
And he just grabbed the wrong box.
So I'm assuming the person that was expecting their flower toy, they also have a picture with a notification that shows my doorstep.
So there's that. I think we know where that is. It goes. What is this for? Is that like a, you squeeze a bulb or something? What is it?
I don't know. Woods, I have never used one of those.
Well, the ratings are good on it. It's very well rated.
Yes.
Very well rated.
So, this belongs to a neighbor of mine.
Which is awesome.
And we don't know what to do.
I know exactly.
We taped up the package
and put
it back out on the doorstep.
Because no.
She knows where it's at.
She does. She's been notified that it's been delivered. And she goes, oh, God, it's been delivered, but it wasn't delivered here.
House.
It wasn't delivered here.
Dude.
So someone has it, definitely opened it. Because you don't even look. When you get packages, you just rip through your
packages.
We
got the notification. We were expecting a delivery.
I mean,
you just grab it.
Expecting a package, and then sometimes you're looking at whatever.
That's
not for me.
I get stuff for my neighbors all the time.
Expecting a bunch of packages. You're not specifically looking to see, oh, this is definitely for me. You're just opening it and going, which one is this?
Well,
and they open it up and they go,
being that we are in an information age, you can actually look up somebody. And look up there, and if I got Ben Higgins, package delivered for Ben Higgins, and it's a bunch of golf balls, and I'll go, Ben Higgins, that sounds familiar. I look it up, and I go, oh, there he is. Well, Paulie did it. He looked up who his neighbor, who it might
belong
to.
Now we're delving into territory that seems a little
I don't know what you're talking
wrong.
About. I didn't do that.
You did. You sent us a picture. She's pretty attractive. So
why are you doing this?
She's pretty attractive. She's a pretty attractive neighbor.
This is not fair. This is not fair.
Now,
you want to just tell her name, too?
Yeah, here. I'll give her address as well. So Pauly sent us the picture, and I went,
what if she's a tier one and listening right now?
Hey, it's nothing to be ashamed
no,
of.
No, it's true.
Not a damn
we
thing
don't
to
know
be ashamed
that was her either.
Yeah, you don't know. Could have been another blank blank. But he did look her up, and she is pretty attractive. And she's with her boyfriend, so he's stoked. Or is he like, why did you do this? Am I not enough for you? There's a lot of different onion layers to this onion. There's a lot.
It's like something out of a movie.
It's a lot of petals to peel off this rose, Ben. She loves me. She loves me not.
Bro.
She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Look how red Pauly is.
It was very uncomfortable.
It's not yours.
No, I know it's not.
Still.
And I wouldn't care. But I'm like, what do we do with this damn thing?
What if it was Megan's and she put somebody else's name? She's like, damn it. It was supposed to go to her. She was going to give it to me. So, God. All right.
It was like written out of a movie or a TV
It's
script,
right out
though.
Of a movie.
Because like,
I wouldn't have believed it.
It wasn't a T-shirt. It wasn't like
jeans.
Anything else you could buy on Amazon. Of the millions of products that you could buy.
Billions, maybe. Billions of things.
Please, please deliver this one correctly.
Just this one.
When Megan said
else,
it.
We can deal with it. Just don't. Don't deliver this one to the neighbor I haven't met yet.
Do
please.
Not biff God, this one. Dude.
Please don't biff this
delivery.
Bro, when
delivery. She said what was in the box, I go, nuh-uh. I was like, no.
It's unbelievable.
You think it's something else. It's not that.
It's unbelievable.
Nope, it's absolutely
I can't stop
that.
Looking at it. It's unbelievable. What goes where is what I want to know.
I'll tell you later.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
She is cute. That a girl. Hell yeah. Stop. Well, listen. So what you do is this, and it's not comfortable, because I think I told this on the air about maybe 6 months ago. We get my wife orders so much stuff on Amazon, it's not even funny. So one day, big old box comes, and I had some stuff being shipped, and I didn't think twice, and I opened it up, and I'm like, what is this? It looked like it was something that I ordered in my Ambien haze, because there was like all this proteins and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, man. All right. I'm like, did I order this? And then I looked. I was like, wrong name. So I had to find the neighborhood. I taped it back up. Didn't take anything out of it. Taped it back up. But it was a gated community. Remember this? Mm-hmm. And I had to sneak in with this huge box. It was a giant horseshoe. Guess where the house was? The top of the horseshoe. So I'm walking. I look like a bum, dude, just walking with this guy's box all the way around, pouring sweat. Then I had to walk all the way back down to my car that was parked outside the gate. I was like, this sucks. I felt like such a good Samaritan. You're going to have to. You taped it up already. You guys didn't use it or anything.
No.
Right? All right. Yeah. The box is still shrink-wrapped.
Shrink-wrapped. Everything, nothing was touched.
You tape it up.
How much did you make the outside box look like you hadn't opened it, though? Were you
it was
able
pretty
to...
good. I used a blade to, like, open it.
Good,
so it was
good.
Clean cut, and then I just threw a layer of, like, packing tape
back
over
back on
it,
top of it.
And
yeah.
And it looks good as new.
And you just, you now know the address. You know the name. We know what she looks like. You can just go over surreptitiously, maybe before work one morning, and you just drop it on the porch, and you walk away.
And they have a ring cam.
I know. Put a mask on. That'll calm everybody's nerves.
Put a Freddy Krueger mask on.
I got it. Grab some of Megan's pantyhose, pull them over your face, and then go drop it off at about 4:30 a.m. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Just stare.
Dude, tonight on ABC 10, a string of bandits, but instead of stealing, they're leaving
the good
adult toys around San Diego.
The Good Samaritan bandit. Yeah, he's been spotted with some nude pantyhose.
Oh, I love it so much.
I'm so happy. Like, I'm sorry for her, but I'm so happy
like,
that happened to you.
I feel
Holly.
Awful for this person.
She's been sweating for 72 hours.
Mortified.
Yes, 72
mortified.
Hours.
A, you're probably looking forward to that purchase.
Of like, course you are. You want to get that thing cranked up
like,
as quick
oh,
as
sweet.
Possible.
Next day delivery? I'll have this tomorrow. Oh, my God. It went to somebody else. What do I do?
I am just screaming. Roman Martinez in the chat says, talk sports already! Roman, you're on the wrong station! You're on the wrong station. We are in the off season,
at least for the first half
hour. For the first half hour, buddy. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun today. Life is about having fun. And really, life is about pleasure. Pleasuring yourself sometimes if you have to, by any means necessary. So, Paulie, get that back to her ASAP. She's going to need that soon. But that killed me. It was just brilliant.
Right, I really could not believe it.
That is certainly a way to get started this week on Ben and Woods. Let's take our first time out. We can come back and set the menu for the program. We will be talking some Padres baseball if we get you ready for the offseason. It will be another busy one if any A.J. Preller has anything to say about it. But I guess the first question is, will A.J. Preller have anything to say about it? As we have heard nothing yet from the San Diego Padres.
Very
no,
quiet,
no word on any postseason news conference, exit interviews, etc. So a little quiet in Padres land over the weekend, and it's fine. You can give them a few days to decompress, but at some point, usually there is a post-mortem at the end of the baseball season, but we haven't heard anything about it yet. We'll set the menu, get you ready for the Monday edition of Ben and Woods coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, it is fire season. I know it's October. We haven't had the huge Santa Ana winds yet, but they could be coming, you know, at any time. Yep. And when they do, you know what that can mean for our community, which means SDG&E, which provides the power for our community, tries to be proactive to make sure that, well, they're not the ones that start a giant wildfire in San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to obviously help save your life if it's possible. We have, we've been talking all weekend about fire plans and stuff in our neighborhood. We are kind of pinched in as well, you know, but it's up to all of us to take the responsibility to make sure that you have all of your contact information updated with SDG&E so that they can alert you in case you do have to skedaddle. You got to get out of there. So it's pretty simple. Sign up for outage notifications at sdge.com/notify or download the alerts by SDG&E app. Again, being prepared is all of our responsibility.
They take the process very seriously with their team of forecasters up to 10 days in advance. They refine their forecast, and as they get closer, you can actually get notified a day, 2 days in advance that a power shutoff could be coming. So you can make preparations. Obviously, you know, perishable foods, things like that. You want to move them into coolers. They'll let you know, and then they'll let you know as soon as the power is back on and you can safely start using all your appliances again. But you have to go to sdgne.com/notify. Download the alerts by SDGN app. That's sdgne.com/notify. We'll be back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are underway on a Monday here with Ben and Woods. If you missed our opening four-play segment, Pauly's first community barbecue at his new residence is going to be potentially an interesting one.
It's going to be lit is what it is, dude. It's going to be great. Kids still say lit because I like it. I like it.
Why not? Here's what we've got coming up. Set the menu for the program. We'll start talking baseball. Padres offseason kind of set the table for some of the issues that the Padres need to, or at least will try to address this offseason, the shortcomings that led to their elimination in the wild card round against the Chicago Cubs. So we'll talk Padres baseball early.
Do we need to talk more about the shortcomings that led to our demise against the Chicago
Cubs?
Well,
how are you ever going to fix them if you don't identify them and address them?
I was wondering.
They've been identified.
I was wondering if over the weekend, because, I mean, they lost on Thursday. We had to come in on Friday morning. Like, after having a few days to just let it settle,
yeah.
Do you have more clarity or closure on how it all ended?
I feel great. I feel great.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, sounds like it. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We can talk about what can we do now. We got to move
that's
forward.
That's what I mean.
We got to move
forward. What can
forward.
We do to move forward?
We ourselves?
The Padres can do to move forward.
I've got some ideas.
All right.
I've got some big ideas.
We're also six games into the division series rounds in the American and National League, so we'll have some baseball to talk about from over the weekend. How hard is it for you guys to watch baseball?
Not even a little bit. I get that all the time. Every year, somebody's like, I don't know how you do it, man. I'm like, I am sitting at rapt attention for every single game. I do not miss one single pitch unless I absolutely have to. If I'm coaching or doing something.
It's a lot easier for me to just flip it off.
Like, no, not me.
If there's a three-run home run and now the game's out of reach, I'm like, all right,
that makes
cool,
sense.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, like the Yankees game yesterday, I don't need to watch this.
No interest in that.
I did flip over to football, but it's appointment viewing for me.
So I was watching and, you know, flipping around baseball, watching most of the games, but when the Cubs-Brewers game, first one came on, and my son was there, he goes, I can't watch this, turn it off.
Really?
It was the one. He could watch the other ones, but the one that he knew the Padres should be playing in. They won.
And
That was the one he said, I don't want to watch this. And then once the Brewers started winning, he said, okay, you can turn it back on.
Yeah, I think.
I think he didn't want to see the Cubs doing well.
I think for me, I love the playoffs so much. I mean, I love the playoffs so much that I don't miss a game. I don't know what that says about me as a fan. I'm not saying it doesn't sting. It does, man. You're talking about guys that come in here, you know, 162 games a year and are just as deep into this team as you can get. They're our greatest joy and passion and frustration. But when they're done, it's like, all right, well, they're done. Turn the page and move on. And hate watching is sublime. I mean, it is a sublime way to watch baseball. Yeah, until it's not.
Until, say, Oscar hits a three-run bomb, and you're like, all right, what else is on?
For sure. But
let's catch up on Love is Blind.
God, I love it. I absolutely love the playoffs. I don't miss a pitch. It doesn't break my heart to watch. We all kind of thought last week, we're like, man, if we had just gotten through Chicago, Milwaukee, we would have handled them. Good God, man. They looked phenomenal. And, you know, Chicago started playing out of character, and we'll go through all the games and stuff, but I just love watching the games, man. I am all in still.
Middle of the program, we'll have our regular Monday guests, at least for now. Craig Elston will join us at 7:35, Padres Hot Tub Podcast, and Cro-Maniacs. We can discuss SDFC's big, dramatic road win on Saturday over Houston, 4-2. They got two goals very late to break a 2-all tie. Well, I was 1-1. They took the lead late, they let them tie it back up, and then they scored twice to put it away. Just tons of goals in the last 10 minutes or so of the match. And
Historic season.
Very tight. They have set the record now for the most expansion wins ever and most points by an expansion team in MLS history. So congratulations to Mike Yvarez and his crew. Two games left, and it's tight. They're tied now atop the standings in the Western Conference. 2 points ahead of the third place team. So it's going to come down to these last couple of games, and we'll talk about that with Craig, and we'll talk more Padres with Dennis coming up at 8:35. Of course, all of our guests here on 97.3 The Fan appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Outside of that, we have our usual features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods. We are done with the prize for the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. But
I gotta see who won that, man.
I don't know if they've announced it yet, if you've been contacted. We had, I think, 7 qualifiers or 8 qualifiers in our show last month. But how about this?
I know who won. You should be getting
give him a chance to identify it, and then we can talk about it this week. But how about this for the new prize here in the month of October? 2 tickets to see Jerry Seinfeld at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace coming up in April.
Wow.
And a 2-night single and a $100 gas card.
All right.
We got tickets to Jerry Seinfeld.
He's doing
this month.
2 dates in Vegas. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. So we'll have another great prize for Take on Woods starting today at 8:20. Rindle Report, we will get into some of the NFL college football over the weekend. Pretty impressive win by the Aztecs on Friday night as well over Colorado State. The offense came to life with Jaden Denegal at quarterback on Friday night. I watched some of that game, and it's like, okay, who is this team watching?
How do you go 6-3 in the game before?
45-24.
Like, go out there and slinging it all over the field, but good for them. You know, I know they're wanting to get more people to watch that team in person. Still a very, very light crowd, Ben. But, you know, you keep doing that. That's what I was talking about. It's like, yeah, and you were talking about it too. Like, you keep winning and an exciting brand. Like, 6-3 ain't, you could win every game 6-3. You're not going to get people to go to the stadium to watch a 6-3 game. You're just not. Games like that, you're hanging 45 points. The people love
last two home games, 34-0 over Cal, 45-24 over Colorado State. That's
very good.
Those are the kind of performances that should start getting some people into the seats at Snapdragon Stadium.
The highest rated offense in college football this weekend. The highest rate, highest graded, was the San Diego.
At least one metric, like I said, yeah. no one performed better on offense than the Aztecs.
The San Diego State Aztecs. Who would have had that? Who would have had that? So congratulations to them. It's spectacular. That's a spectacular win. And, yeah, good for them.
They'll be on the road at Nevada this week. They don't have another home game until November. So got to get through a couple of road games in a bye week to keep the momentum going before they come back home. And if they do, like to see more people at Snapdragon Stadium for that next home game in November. Also, let's see, we've got the rest of the football to talk about as well. But let's start. I've got a list. I don't know if you have a list, but I made a list of off-season issues I'd like, you know, the Padres need to tackle, or at least try to tackle going forward.
Now, you didn't tell me that we were doing a list. If you had said, hey, come up with your list, then I would have.
It's not a countdown. It's not, I don't think it's comprehensive either.
With a list. I have a grid. So I did a grid. I'm actually doing it right now as we speak.
Really just kind of came off the top of my head. I just kind of wanted to write down a few things that seemed like they were important. So we'll start in on a Monday with Padres off-season issues that need to be addressed coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And, Woods was just mentioning, during traffic, let's mention the piece that Kevin Acey wrote this weekend in the Union Tribune. That was part of the inspiration for the list I put together of things that need to be tackled. And I thought it was interesting that one of the first things that Kevin Acey wrote about is that a contract for A.J. Preller is one of the first items on the table for the San Diego Padres this offseason.
He's got 1 year left.
Correct.
And that would make him the quote, a lame duck GM. And nobody wants to go into a season as a lame duck manager, a lame duck GM. Makes it very difficult to do your job. Makes it very you suspect that they don't have the utmost confidence in you if they have not given you a contract extension, which, again, if you're going to judge A.J. Preller on division titles and rings, which I think ultimately that's how every GM is judged, right, then you would say, okay, we're not going to extend him. I disagree entirely. It's the best two seasons back-to-back that the San Diego Padres have ever had. Why upset the apple cart now? Let's keep it rolling. It's not, you don't get this job in perpetuity, right? Like, there's got to be an end date. So maybe you say, three-year deal. Here's a three-year deal, and we need division titles. We need a World Series appearance at least. My God. But I am of the opinion that our farm system is so depleted by A.J. Preller that only A.J. Preller can build it back up again.
It's convenient if you're A.J. Preller.
Oh, it's absolutely convenient if you're A.J. Preller. You're like, I depleted it, but only I'm the one that can fill it. And here's the thing, though. They know that. They know he's the only one on the planet that can do what he's done. He's done it over and over and over.
Paulie, what do you think? Because I'm going to push back a little bit.
Push.
I was going to say, it is reasonable for any team that's had a GM for 10 years with, let's be honest, not a ton of great results, for them to move on, for the team to say, you know what, it's been 10 years and we have not won, it's time to move on.
Don't you bracket
that makes
it, though?
Sense. Hang on, that makes sense. I think that would be the wrong move.
I do, too. Don't you bracket his tenure? Because every year and season is not created equal. Let's not pretend that they are.
Right.
He didn't take that job 10 years ago and say, I expect to win a World Series this year. No. Now, bro, he has made some bonehead moves. But for every bonehead move, I feel like there's been 2 to 3 really savvy moves, really smart moves. Also, we need to take into consideration, Ben and Paul and Tier 1s, I think some of the moves that he made over the last 5 years were not his moves. I don't think they were his. I don't think it was in his control per se. I think he was overruled. In fact, I know he was overruled on a couple. Couple of deals that went down. We don't have to name names. Any Padre fan worth his or her salt knows exactly what we're talking about. That wasn't him. That wasn't him. And as AZ Jimmy says, we always ask you this. Play it forward. Fast forward the tape, whatever you want to say. Who do you get that's better? And who do you get that keeps this thing rolling? Because for me, that's the most important thing. Keeping this thing, this train, rolling a little bit. And postseason appearances is, in fact, your train is rolling. 91 seasons is, in fact, your train is rolling. Right?
Yeah. I said last week, I don't want to go through another growing period with a new fresh face GM, because we went through that with AJ Preller.
It's crazy how many people do want that.
And he's gotten better at his job over the years. So in that sense, I don't necessarily want to see them make a move. But what I want to push back on is what you said at the beginning. Why can't he go into a lame duck season as general manager? It's not even like a manager where the players are, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be playing for this guy in another year. Is he really? Do they have confidence in him as manager? They didn't extend him. The GM doesn't really have, I mean, day-to-day interactions with his players. AJ has more than most, but you don't sign. No, there's no player that signs and goes, I want to play for this GM in particular. They want to play like, for an organization. Sure. They want to play with their teammates. They want to play for a manager. And you might want to have some stability there. Coaching staff, managers.
I disagree.
But
I disagree.
I just don't know.
Shohei has it in his contract that if their GM leaves, he can leave. So I don't buy it. He's the best player in the world. And he has it in his contract. If Friedman goes, I go.
The argument is if you put a GM into a corner like that with a year left on his deal, he might do some rash things.
He's always done rash
things. He's always done rash things, though. It's not as though you're going to change his personality by making him play out the last year of his contract if you wanted to do that. What's the worst case scenario? He has an unbelievable year next year and makes him more expensive. You might lose him to another team.
Yeah.
I guess. If you're worried, are you worried about losing AJ Preller at the end of this next season?
I am worried.
All right, if that's your motivation, then yeah, you go out and extend him. If you're not worried about losing him.
I am.
I don't think there's any rush necessarily to get the deal done. He's going to GM the way he GMs. I don't think his contract status has anything to do with it. I personally think he's the best choice for the job right now for the San Diego Padres. I'm not going to go out and give him a 6-year deal, though, right now. He doesn't have a ton of leverage at the moment.
I didn't say 6-year. I said 3-year.
I know, but I...
Give him a 3-year deal. Another 3-year deal.
How about a 1-year extension, then?
Okay. 1-year extension's fine.
I mean, how much leverage does AJ have right now?
The two best seasons back-to-back that the San Diego Padres have ever had.
But with early playoff exits. Other fan bases want to see their team, just like Padres fans, go deep into the postseason.
He's got the players to do it. The players got to figure out how to get through the October
month. His job just his to construct to a roster construct that can get you to the playoffs?
Which he did. He absolutely did. And it's on then the skipper, and it's on the players to say, we're tired of failing in October. It's certainly not AJ. We talk about all the time. After that trade deadline comes and he's back to scouting and doing all the things, he washes his hands of it. And you couldn't have put together a better trade deadline for everything we needed this year than AJ Preller did.
You're putting me in a hard spot because I am an AJ Preller fan. But play it out. You give him a 3-year extension right now. What happens if the Padres have a bad year this year?
Which is very
in
possible.
In 2026, I mean.
I mean, the Mets spent the most, almost the most money, and they didn't make the
and
playoffs.
And you just extended him.
They kept their GM.
You didn't have a gun to your head. You don't have to extend him. You extend him for 3 years. Now you've got a GM that you got to buy out for 3 years if you want to get rid of him next year. Extend him this year. Why extend him unnecessarily? That's my only argument.
So that somebody else doesn't get him. Why do you keep a player? So somebody else doesn't get him.
Yeah, that's how I always look at it when we talk about coaches or your executives like this and their future with their contracts is put it this way. Play it forward this way. Let's say AJ Preller gets fired at noon today. How long before he's got another team on the phone?
12:45. He's got a job.
Right. So that tells
Colorado
me.
Colorado Rockies, give him a call.
Yeah, but he's
looking for
I literally think Steve Cohen, and really, honestly, based on how the Yankees have played, I think Hank Steinbrenner is calling the New York kid and saying, come on back.
I think
come
there are teams, yeah, multiple teams playing right now even that would be like, oh, crap, A.J. Preller's available?
Well,
like,
he'll
that
certainly have a
things.
Job in baseball somewhere.
So he'll
will
be
will he be
as
president
team.
Of baseball
yes.
operations?
Yes, I think so. And that tells me that maybe you shouldn't let the guy go.
I'm telling you, man. I think Hank Steinbrenner would be his for Brian Cashman.
You can see a situation like in St. Louis where they hired Keim Bloom a year in advance and made him the heir apparent, where maybe in, you know, Cashman's ready to retire in a year and A.J. comes in under his wings and then, you know, rises to the position in a year or two. I could see a situation like that if he leaves San Diego.
I mean, where's the guy from? He's from New York. You know, and the Yankees are kind of like the Cowboys now. They don't win a ton. They make the postseason. They don't get to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think
he's a perfect fit.
Both. Either. Both. I mean, absolutely both or either. I don't want to lose him. 5 years ago, if you asked me this question, I said 5 years ago, I think we're ready for a new voice. But after this era of Padres baseball, all of my blame shifts to the players.
If you split his 10-year
the players
time
that
here.
AJ brought aboard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but he built the roster. It's the same thing. Like, you look at what the Mets did. They spent a ton of money. They spent it in a lot of wrong places. They didn't even make the playoffs in an extended playoffs. They kept their GM. They're going to see this thing through. We have seen, again, I can't belabor that point enough, Ben. You know damn well, and I know damn well, that every move that this team has made wasn't 100% rubber stamped by that guy. You know that for a fact. We all do. So that's unfair to categorize that and put that in his tenure. Sometimes your boss makes you do stuff you don't want to do. That happens all the time.
But some of the bad decisions that haven't worked out are on AJ, as every GM makes good and bad decisions.
Watch the Mariners series, right? Like, you watch the Mariners, you go, oh my God, Andrés Muñoz, Matt Brash, Josh Naylor, like, these are good players.
I don't know if there's a more polarizing GM, because there are people who will defend AJ and say he is maybe one of the best at his job, and there are people who will say he's one of the worst. Maddie in our chat says, AJ must have dirt on the morning show. AJ has done nothing in how many years? Peter spent the money to get the talent that has got us to be winners. AJ's moves consistently make the team worse.
Maddie, you're a sweet kid, buddy, and I do love you. I do, but you're a sweet kid.
But he's polarizing. He's not the only Padres fan that thinks that way about A.J. Preller.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, Tatis, Arraez, Manny Machado, those guys are good players. They didn't come through in October. I'm not putting that on A.J. Preller. I'm sorry. I'm not. That's not his fault. It's their fault and their fault alone.
I think, really, after the trade deadline, you kind of have to take A.J. out of the equation.
There's no question.
It's players
it's
and,
manager,
and manager.
It's and manager coaches. And players after the trade deadline. And did he have a successful trade deadline? The answer is yes. Now, I have ultimate faith that he can rebuild the farm system. How do I have ultimate faith? Because I've seen him do it every single solitary year. Every year.
I definitely agree with you there. All right, 1 hour in the books. The list is still long. We can talk more about Padres offseason moves and the rest of the playoffs. Coming up in hour number two, Ben Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.